Support for State Street comes from Salt Lake Community College. With 8 campuses and flexible scheduling options, SLCC provides access to learning for Utah's future employees. More information on community involvement at slcc.edu/community.
Utah is a red state.
Except for a few Democratic pockets in Salt Lake County, Summit County, and Moab.
With that one-party dominance, though, we hear some pretty common values from politicians, and small government is one of the big ones. I'm Hugo Ricard-Bell.
And I'm Sean Higgins. This week on State Street, what happens when a state all about local control steps into the business of its cities? All right, so to get things started, I am actually recording from home this week, sick baby and everything.
And thanks to that sick baby, I get to sit in Sean's podcasting chair, and I have to say, Sean, the back massage feature is pretty delightful.
Wait till you see the 180-degree recline on that bad boy.
You can't see it, Sean, but I am at the 180-degree recline right now. All right, sorry, I'm back. Let's give everyone a lay of the land, Sean.
All right, so I'd like to bring this down to a basic level, which means it's time for me to put my political science degree to good use.
Finally.
We live in a federalist system. That means political power is shared between the federal government, states, and local governments. The feds usually handle the big things, the military, trade, money, stuff like that. States handle most of the rest. Things like elections, public health, and education. There is some crossover there, but you get the gist of what I'm saying.
And yeah, Sean, obviously where I grew up, we have a sort of British parliamentary system, but essentially that's how it breaks down for us as well.
Nice. And so that leaves us with local governments, your cities, your towns, and your counties. They're the ones responsible for some of the things that have the biggest impact on your daily life. These are things like police and fire departments, municipal services like filling potholes, collecting trash, libraries and rec centers, and a really, really big one, zoning and land use.
Basically the stuff that you look out your window and you can see.
Pretty much. Now, tension between the legislature and Utah's cities and towns over where these lines are really drawn is nothing new, especially for Salt Lake City. Former Mayor Rocky Anderson went toe-to-toe with lawmakers in the early 2000s over the Legacy Highway. That's the one that connects Salt Lake City and Farmington and runs parallel to I-15.
And to bring it right up to last year, Mayor Erin Mendenhall called lawmakers' actions to exert control over the capital city punitive.
I really have a hard time seeing how anybody who says they believe in smaller government and local control would ever actually support what happened in the legislature this year.
And she was talking about things like a bill that essentially banned pride flags on government buildings, another bill that inserted the State Department of Transportation into the management of city roads, and a bill that made the city partner with the Utah Department of Public Safety to tackle homelessness and drugs. And you know, Hugo, Salt Lake City is an easy target for conservatives at the Capitol. It's the capital city, a blue city, in an otherwise red state.
And Sean, fast forward to this year, some of this push and pull over local control is pretty obvious, and some is a little more subtle. I'm going to hit you with a really obvious example. So Representative Trevor Lee's bill to rename Harvey Milk Boulevard in Salt Lake City to Charlie Kirk Boulevard, that's one that I think of that was pretty blatant. It got a lot of attention before the session started, but it is yet to make it out of the Rules Committee.
There's also another transportation bill in the works right now that is a little bit more subtle. Originally, opponents said it would have made Salt Lake City tear out many of the bike and bus lanes it's installed on some of the city's busiest roads. Think about Third West and that whole redesign from Target to Costco to Home Depot. It looks like that part has been taken out, but it basically gets UDOT involved in regionally significant roads. It also requires Salt Lake City to review traffic calming measures and mitigate their impacts. Here's bill sponsor, Senator Wayne Harper.
I just want to clarify a couple of things. There's been comments this is a state takeover of city roads. I do not think so. I would ask each one of you to look and see what other city in the state has the state investment in it. in the number of roads, number of state buildings, number of recreational facilities and things like that that the state either supports or owns.
You know, another area where the state has sort of flexed its chest is housing. You know, Governor Cox, he has these lofty housing goals, and he told reporters back in October that, you know, he's not shy about the state stepping in to build more of it.
I don't want to go the preemption route, but I would be lying if I said it wasn't on the table.
Now, from this quote, I want to pull out the word preemption. It can have a lot of different meanings, but in politics, this is where the state overrides cities. And in this case, the city sets out zoning regulation, but then the state comes in and says, hey, actually, we're going to change that and we're going to put in our own standard. And they can do this. We talked about federalism earlier. Now, while there's definitely roles for each level of government, the roles set out between state and cities, they operate more on a handshake agreement rather than a contract.
Now, Hugo, preempting street names and bike lanes might get a lot of the headlines, but it's really this zoning bit that makes local governments nervous.
Because land use is actually one of the major powers that they have.
And before covering state politics, I was a city hall reporter in Park City, where they've got a serious affordable housing shortage. And I'm not exaggerating when I say I sat through literally hundreds of hours of city council and planning commission meetings about zoning and land use. Those meetings are tedious, so I definitely understand the motivation to make that process a little more streamlined. And Representative Ray Ward actually has a bill to make building homes on smaller lot sizes easier and faster. Here he is explaining why he thinks it's a good idea.
To me, it's become clear that overall, the way that we do this permitting and zoning has slowly added to the cost. I think it's added to the expense. It's added to the length of time it takes. And most worse than any of that, is that that process often makes it just flat out impossible for a small home or a less expensive home to be built according to the zoning process that we've set up.
So an interesting tidbit with this bill he's talking about that really made people groan was focused on Cox's affordable housing goals.
That's the 35,000 starter homes by 2028.
Exactly. And this bill wanted to cut some of the red tape around construction requests. It actually made it so if someone requested to build, the city had a 30-day deadline to respond. If they didn't respond, that was a thumbs up, go ahead, put your shovel to dirt. Now, it also originally took out public hearings for development proposals, which did not go over well.
Now, we should say Ward's bill has been held in committee, so it's really anyone's guess if it'll make it any further this session. But it was another example of sweeping legislation that took aim at zoning. And, you know, local governments are really protective of this power, and for good reason. Here's how Bountiful Mayor Kate Bradshaw explained it during a House committee last week.
Zoning matters deeply because zoning is how we plan for infrastructure and how we plan for services. And to ignore that important process gets us to a problem where we find ourselves today.
Now, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll hear from the top lobbyist for Utah's local governments.
You're listening to State Street.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report on PBS Utah. I'm Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. The Hinckley Report is Utah's weekly political roundup, bringing together Utah's top journalists, political thinkers, and lawmakers to help you understand how politics impacts your life. Listen to the Hinckley Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to State Street. I'm Hugo Ricard-Bell.
And I'm Sean Higgins. So when I was up at the Capitol last week, I managed to track down Cameron Deal. He's the executive director of the Utah League of Cities and Towns.
So Sean, this is really your beat. Can you just tell the good listeners what the Utah League of Cities and Towns is exactly?
Sure, yeah. So they're an organization that's been around since 1907, and they focus on advocating and strengthening local city governments. They represent over 250 of them across the state. And they're all about keeping that separation of responsibilities between the different levels of government.
So, I mean, they kind of slap the hand of the state away from the city's packet of chips.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. The league is currently tracking over 200 bills that could affect Utah municipalities, and they are busy this time of year. When I finally did catch up with Cameron, he was literally running from one meeting to another with lawmakers, and he managed to spare a few minutes with me. I asked him how he balances state goals with the autonomy of Utah municipalities.
That is a question that gets asked every day throughout the year, not just at the Capitol. We want to partner. We want partnership, not preemption, and we want to collaborate with state leaders, with the private sector, with our residents. We want to respect everybody's role in that collaboration, and we want to focus on outcomes that ensure the quality of life of our collective constituents.
When you guys hear the word preemption, whether it's housing or anything, how does that make you react?
When we hear the term preemption, our members are frustrated because it feels like the state stepping in and making a decision that local elected officials have been elected to make. That's where the tension comes in. We've spent a lot of time talking about the Utah legislature, but I think it's important both for your stories and in your podcast to acknowledge that this tension exists all over the country. State legislatures are constantly pushing unfunded mandates down to cities or trying to preempt local governments. And I'll spare you some of those details, but we see it in red states and we see it in blue states. We've seen preemption of zoning in California, but we've also seen it in Texas and in Florida. Okay? I fundamentally believe, and our members fundamentally believe, that there is a better way, and that's the spirit of partnership. And I think we have demonstrated a track record with the legislature and local governments and the private sector and residents working together, that we can figure out solutions to our pressing problems that avoid the one-size-misfits-all state mandate.
Over the last couple of years, it appears we've seen a willingness to meddle in the affairs of cities and towns a little bit more. We are in a red state. Small government is a big tagline here. And yet we've seen bills that meddle with housing, what flags can fly on buildings, what cities can and can't do with their streets. Some of that is really focused on Salt Lake City in particular. How do you look at some of these issues? Is Salt Lake City an isolated case, or are there other cities around the state looking at some of these moves with a skeptical eye as well?
Within the league, Salt Lake City is a very valuable voice. You know, we, both our elected officials within the league and league staff, meet regularly with Salt Lake City to make sure we understand what's going on, not just with the bills at the Capitol, but throughout the year. You mentioned a couple of bills in particular, and we've presented those bills to our policy committee. And there are concerns from cities around the state of different bills that target one city or another city. So that's not a thing that's just unique to Salt Lake City. So there's always concern when it feels like the legislature is running a bill that's targeting one city over another. That's why part of our role as a league is to make sure that we are raising those important questions. What's the problem we're trying to solve? Is this the proper role of the state, or should this be something that's left at local government? Is there a gap in communication and collaboration that we can collectively work to fill? And again, we work shoulder to shoulder with Salt Lake City and with all the other cities in our membership to try to solve these problems. So yeah, we've had some difficult bills up here, but I'm also proud of how we've been able to come together and solve problems.
Cameron Deal, thank you so much.
Yep, thanks for the time.
That was Utah League of Cities and Towns Executive Director Cameron Deal. So listening to our conversation with Cameron sort of pointed out a few things to me. Firstly, it seems like the state's tagline of small government only applies when they say it does.
Go on, tell me more.
Well, what I was hearing is the state wants to preach small government, particularly when the federal government starts reaching into their cookie jar, but it doesn't always hold itself to the same standard.
You know, I would say that's a pretty fair way of putting it. And our producer, Caroline Ballard, actually put in a call to Utah State University political scientist Damon Kahn to figure out why that is. He mentioned how federalism lays out powers between the state and federal governments. They are sovereign in different ways, but everything at the local level, states are ultimately in charge there.
while there are some areas where the federal government is sovereign and can give states direction, there's other areas where states are sovereign. States and cities do not have that kind of arrangement. Cities, counties, and other local governments are political subdivisions of the state. They do not have sovereignty.
I think it's also worth mentioning how a lot of these actions come off. Cities and residents have found they don't feel like lawmakers listen to them, and that lawmakers don't trust cities to run their own affairs. Remember how Salt Lake City Mayor Erin Mendenhall put it last year? She said it was, quote, punitive. And it turns out Damon Cann has an answer for that too.
Political scientists, always with the answers.
Remember how Utah has a supermajority Republican government, and its biggest city is a Democratic stronghold? It's a little bit like oil and water. It just doesn't really mix, does it?
When you have a city that's ideologically farther away from the ideological median of the state legislature, that city is much more likely to get preempted. So in Utah, we hear more about preemption looking at cities like Salt Lake City, like a Park City, or maybe even at times a Moab. You don't see the Utah State Legislature moving to preempt Orem or Kaysville.
And then there's that whole perception bit. The Utah legislature has been accused of being power hungry in the past. You know, during the pandemic, it limited the governor's power to declare a state of emergency. And more recently, think of the redistricting saga and all the power grab rhetoric we've heard from people who oppose the legislature, and the lawmakers' efforts to rewrite or overturn citizen-led ballot initiatives. Plus, it's fights with the courts. Cann says a supermajority legislature is just hard to contain.
If you have a legislature that is unified and determined to be specific in the way they set policy, then it's the branch of government that I think is most difficult to rein in.
But Sean, here's the kicker, or I guess the comfort. Utah isn't really unique. Cann and Deal both say that you can find these forces at work in lots of states and cities around the country.
Utah. Turns out we're just like everyone else.
I've been saying it all along.
Well, that does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Hugh Ricard Bell. Be sure to stay on top of all things Utah politics by subscribing to our newsletter. You can do that at KUER.org/State Street.
State Street would simply not be possible without our team. Jim Hill is our digital wizard, and Alexis Rausch did our artwork.
David Childs does our audio production here at State Street, and KUER News Director Elaine Clark helps edit.
And Caroline Ballard is our executive producer.
Catch you next time. Oh, you're saying comparing it to oil and water. Oh, okay. My bad. I was like, oh my God, are we covering oil bills?
They don't mix.
They don't mix. But I know that you probably have some weird Australian saying for that. So
how dare you?
Platypuses and koalas, that.
Platypuses and koalas. They're not even part of the same ecosystem.
Exactly.
Exactly.
From KUER.